Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
In 1867, there was a Swedish chemist by the name of Alfred Nobel. He got up one morning, was having his breakfast and reading the newspaper. And there he read his own obituary. It said, Alfred Nobel, inventor of dynamite, who died yesterday, devised a way for more people to be killed in more wars than ever before. He died a very rich man. In actual fact, it was Alfred's older brother that had died. Newspaper reporter got it wrong. But the account had a profound effect on Alfred. He didn't want to have his epitaph read that he was the inventor of something that caused the death of many people. He didn't want his epitaph to say that, oh, he died yesterday and he was very rich because he killed lots of people. And so he started the Nobel Prize, which was a prize for scientists and writers who promoted peace in the world, whose efforts brought forth good things, not bad or destructive things. He said, every man ought to have the chance to correct his epitaph in midstream and write a new one. That's what God does for each of us. He makes us new creatures. Jesus said, I make all things new. There's nothing old because Jesus makes everything new. Newness of life. We sometimes object to his methods. We don't like it when we're suddenly bowed and humiliated. And we go through all kinds of trials and tribulations on this earth, and we don't like it. But we need to remember that a grape cannot be drunk as wine until it is crushed. We don't like being crushed. We don't like the hard circumstances of sickness, pain, because we don't see things as God sees things. We don't see with his perspective. We don't see the whole story at one time. We can't see eternity. We don't understand. God gives us the chance to rewrite our lives as he makes and remakes something new in us. He takes our broken hearts, which he loves, and makes something new. He takes our broken spirits and makes something new and stronger. He makes something new of our broken souls and ragged feelings. He is in the business of creating new things. Let us pray. Father, our hearts go out today to people who have lost a loved one, a father, a son, a child. They cry out to you, Father, because their mother is gone or their sister. They cry out to you because they're in pain. They cry out because they have no place else to go and nothing else to do. They have explored all of the politicians' words and all the things that are said, and they can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But you can, Father. You can bring life from death. You can raise us from the ground. You have the power to make all things new, to recreate us into the image of Jesus Christ, your beloved Son. And so today, Father, we ask that you would begin that in us. Send your Holy Spirit. Father, may your Spirit reign with us. May he have this day a moment when our ears are turned toward you, when our lives are turned toward you. May he use us and comfort us in our grief and in our sorrow and our angst. Give us peace that only he can bring. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit take charge now of our very lives. We have sung a song that invites you to take control of us, that we confess that we are just an offering. We ask you now to take us as we are and recreate us into who you want us to be. Father, take our sorrows, take our pains, make all things work together for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. Father, if there's anything I would say that is not in perfect keeping with your will, then cast it out, Father. Cast it out. Let no one here hear the words of a man, for they are crooked words and broken words and words that come to a mind that is not the mind of Christ. Father, may we hear from you today. May we hear the purity of your voice today, ringing in our hearts and our minds and our spirits as we invite you to come and take control. You be who you are. And we, your people, will strive to be who you've made us to be. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you turn with me to Romans, the 6th chapter? I'm going to read a good deal of Scripture today. These are the words that God has said. He said it through Paul when he was speaking to the Romans, but he says it to you and I as vividly as he can because he uses the Holy Spirit as his interpreter. You remember in chapter 5, we talked about the grace as a superpower that overcame sin and death. And that leads us to chapter 6, in which the question is raised, what shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? And then immediately he answered it, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many that were baptized into Christ, Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the very beginning, from the dead, that your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do not you know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that person's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Romans 6 teaches us something beyond Romans 5. It teaches us that we are not to take grace for granted. We're not to say because grace abides where sin, that we should sin, therefore grace would much more abide. We're not to do that. We're not to do that. But this is the reason that some people believe that we should not preach eternal security. We should not preach eternal security because it allows the laziness in man to say, all my sins are forgiven by grace. My passport to heaven's been stamped. Now I can go and live any way I want to. I can do anything I care to do. Sin is my playmate. What would you say if a man who was loved unconditionally by his wife and children were to say one day, well, my wife and children are totally committed to me. My family is secure. Therefore, I think I'll leave my wife and children to just forage on their own. I'll go out and have a good time because I know their love for me is unconditional. They'll never, ever turn against me. That is secure. That part of my life is secure. Therefore, I'm going to be a lazy, no good, whatever. And what would we call such a man? We call such a man, the kindest term we might use is rascal. We might say he's despicable. We might say that this man has broken his wedding vows. We might say that this man has no sense of anyone beyond himself, that he is totally self-absorbed. That's what Paul is saying to the people that he's writing to here in Romans. And to you and to me. He is saying, if you love God, you're going to honor the commitment you made to God. Forgiveness of sin and entrance into heaven is only half the gospel. God invites us into a relationship with Him. Jesus died not just to free you from sins, but that you might have a relationship with the Father. He wants more for you. He wants you to have life, but He wants you to have life abundant. What is life abundant? Life abundant is love of God, service of God. That is what life abundant is, to come to know Him and serve Him. That is why the teaching of being in Christ is so important. 3-5, he says these words. Or do you know that as many as of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we shall also walk in newness of life. For if we had been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. What does baptized mean? Baptized in Christ. I mean, there are obvious benefits of being baptized in Christ, his death and resurrection and love. But there is more than the benefits. There is a union that is created. The Holy Spirit brings the believer into deep spiritual union with Christ Jesus through the bond of faith. Being baptized in Jesus means that the person you were before ceases to exist. There was once a fellow named Roy Frady. There were certain things about him that were true because he was descended from Adam. He was under the reign of sin. He was alienated from God, and he was powerless to do anything about it. If he was to remain in that position, he would be condemned, judged, and sent to hell. But praise God, that fellow no longer exists. He died. He went down with Jesus at the cross. And when the Holy Spirit plunged into him, I was saturated and made a new creature with a new name. I still go by the name of Roy Frady. But now I'm under the reign of grace. I'm a child of God, and my destiny is everlasting life. Spirit of God now lives in and through me. Old man is dead and buried. New creature has been raised up to live a life that's new. A life to the glory of God the Father. Verse 4 says, I have been crucified, Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Being in Christ means that the person that I once was ceased to exist. His name was blotted out. That's the reason he got a new name. I am not known by the name that my mother and father gave me. I am known by the name that my Father in heaven has given me. There are people sitting here today that find it hard to believe that that's what's happened. My wife gets aggravated at me sometimes because I don't react the way I used to react. We had hail damage to our house. And my wife, who knew that I was an expert on roofing, waterproofing, curtain wall systems, and worked all over the world, worked in great big buildings. I was the expert that they called for legal things, and I was the expert. Boy, did she get irritated at me that I didn't watch everything they were doing. I've changed. The Spirit that lives in me as a new man only lives for the glory of the Father. And a new man still falls and sins in many ways. But no matter. Even if I'm bloodied or muddied, I remain unbroken because I am a new creature, a child of the living God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But Christ in me lives. Being in Christ means that that person I once was ceased to exist. But I'm not the way I used to be. Believe it or not, when I was a professional actor, my ego was so large that I couldn't enter a building unless the garage door was open. My head wouldn't fit in. I had a far worse temper. One time when I was in a production in Canada, I ripped off my coat and offered to box the ears and the nose and everything else that stood in front of me, which was the director of the play. I didn't suffer fools lightly. I had a far worse temper than I do now. I'm different now. Even my sisters recognized it one time when we went back to Houston after having been in Canada and here and gone back to Washington and back here again. My sister said, "He's changed." Neither one of my sisters is a believing Christian in that sense, but they didn't recognize the old me. The old man was dead. It ceased to exist. The new creature is always struggling with the old man in me. There is never a day that goes by when the old man isn't tempted, the old man isn't angry, the old man isn't this or that or the other. And I am always like that. I always have that problem. But there is a new man in me that struggles with that. And is against that and will not allow me to just take the low road all the time. Even though I do get aggravated and I do get bent out of shape and I get so angry with people who do not see the world the way I see the world. But that old man that I struggle with, his position was defeat in the battle. My new position is victory in the battle. Each of us has been delivered by Christ, and now we have a new identity. A new identity. It opens up great possibilities. When I hear someone say, that's just the way I am, it really bothers me. Because what I'm hearing from that person is something that I should hear from someone who's not a Christian. I'm just the way I am. There's nothing I can do about it. I can't do anything. But Christ lives in the person that I'm hearing it from. And there is nothing they can't do through Christ who strengthens them. And it irritates me. I can't help that. And that's the struggle sometimes. I still love the people, but they're just not doers of the word. It means that they're carrying around on their back the old man. Listen, you get awfully tired carrying a old person around on your back that's dead, that's rotting. Why do you do that? Why do we do that? Why don't we, like reptiles, shed our reptilian skin and actually bury the body that we're carrying around? It's been buried in Christ. Why do we allow the old body that we have to bring us down, to cripple us, to keep us from doing what God intends us to do? Because He intends that each of you are more than victors. You're more than conquerors through Christ that strengthens you. You have no excuse to say, "Oh, goodness gracious, this old person, I'm getting so tired of carrying this old person around." Bury him. Bury it. Because Christ has buried it a long time ago. Each of us find ourselves carrying that weight of something we did in the past. And of course, the devil uses that when he sees it's all crippled up and walking around with the weight of all of our sins on us all the time. He's quick to remind us, "Well, you're carrying that dead body around by you all the time." Bury it. When you came to Christ, you were buried with Him. That old man, that old woman ceased to exist. You are now in Christ. The life of God has invaded your soul. You have power. Sin no longer is your master.
He's not my master. He shouldn't be your master. Yes, he comes in, and every time he finds me carrying the old body, he's my master. But if that old body is buried in Christ Jesus, then I am free because Christ has set me free indeed. Have you ever noticed how you put socks in a drawer and then you can never take out the same socks you put in the drawer, that they somehow get messed up in there? I do that all the time. There's a brown sock and there's a black sock. Well, these were, what happened? Why do I have different colored socks? One of the reasons I wear cowboy boots is because I can't find matching socks. And so, that's never happened to me, you know, with trousers. I've never found a trouser with a missing leg. They're sewn together. They are unified in one body. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That means that we are in a union, a sewn together bond that never will break. That's what you have to deal with in your life. That's what your relationship with Christ is supposed to be. There were three couples who, when they left college, they said to each other, in this little group of six, they said, listen, let's pledge to one another in this group that we'll all return here in 25 years and we'll tell the truth to one another about what the 25 years of being together has been. So 25 years later, they all arrive. People notice that the first couple arrives in two cars from different directions. They come in and they say, well, we've told you, we'll tell you the truth. And the truth is, we got married right after college. But after 6 months, we knew it was a no-go. It just wasn't going to happen. And the woman said, yes, and we just found that we were incompatible. So the man said, and we split up, and we went to live our lives separately after the divorce. The second couple came in, and they said, well, we've been married, too, right after college. We've had three children. They're all in college now. And we're just not happy. The woman looked, and she said, well, let's tell the truth. We've stayed together for the kids. But there's something empty, like an empty shell. Well, we hear the echoes of one another, but we can't really have that intimacy we should have had. The third couple gets up and they say, well, you know, it's been a tumultuous time. We've had our fights. The woman says, amen. There have been lots of times when we thought about splitting up. We disagreed over about everything, and we've been broke, and we've been going through hardships, and we've had lots of trouble. But you know, the longer we are together, the deeper our love seems to grow. And now, in spite of all the arguments and everything else we've ever had, we feel closer and more intimate than we ever have in our life. Which of those three examples represents you and your relationship with God? Like the first couple? We were a Christian for a while, but then you went off and did your own thing. You were a convenient Christian. When it was convenient, you were a Christian. Maybe you're like couple number two. You've stayed under the law. You've done the right thing. You haven't ever committed adultery. You didn't have an affair, but the intimacy was gone.
your empty shell kind of echo chamber? Are you like the third couple, whose love and intimacy is growing and growing and growing? What is your relationship with God? There is a greater victory in intimacy and union than there ever is in any theology. We can say, oh, well, I'm this or I'm that. I'm a Church of Christ or I'm a Catholic or I'm a Baptist or I'm a Methodist or I'm a Presbyterian or I'm this or I'm that. All you're saying is that you follow the dictates of men who have heard as best they could from God, but you kind of identify with their thought process because you've been too lazy to think through it on your own. Is that where you're at? Are you at it? Finally just kind of give up? That's a despairing thought. Or I'm a legalist. I feel really happy in my legalism, wherever that is. Boy, I feel that's a real comfort to me because it allows me to look at people and say, wow, you know, this person's okay and this person's not because of these standards that I have, that I've created. I think that's what Jesus felt like when he went down to have food with the sinners and the publicans. Or is your situation an intimacy with God? You see, that's the second half of the gospel. Jesus invites you to allow him to saturate you. That's what baptism means. Baptism means that you are immersed, that you're saturated. Has God saturated your heart? Has it been a long time since you felt the saturation of the Spirit of God in your life? And people say, well, this is the old person that I'm looking at and talking to today, or this is somebody different. Is Christ living in and through you? If not, then we must pour ourselves out on his grace and mercy and ask that he forgive us yet again. That we come to an altar in order to ask his forgiveness. Because we shouldn't leave this room, any of us, with any kind of old thing lying about us that hasn't been buried in Christ. If we're going to be who Christ wants us to be, we need to leave this room invigorated, saturated with the Spirit of God, doing what God tells us to do. Wherever we go, whatever we do.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.